Welcome to Catholic Answers Live, the program where you participate with your questions about apologetics and evangelization, including the most important theological, spiritual, moral, and social issues facing the world today. Call now with your question for today's guest, toll-free 1-888-31-TRUTH. That's 888-318-7884. Now, from San Diego, Catholic Answers Live.
Hello and welcome to Catholic Answers Live. It is Tuesday. That means open forum. And open forum means if you got a question, we got an answer, so long as it is connected to the Catholic faith. Whether you are Catholic or not, you are welcome to call 888-318-7884. 888-318-7884. If you have a question about Catholic sacraments, what do Catholics believe about the Bible, where did the Bible come from, what's the Pope up to, what is a Pope? Maybe you don't
– Amen.
Anything. From the basic to the obscure, they are all welcome. This is Open Forum Day on Catholic Answers Live, and Tim Staples is our guest. Tim is the Director of Apologetics and Evangelization here at Catholic Answers. He's the author of – Behold Your Mother, A Biblical and Historical Defense of the Marian Doctrines. Hello, Tim.
Hello, my friend, Cy Keller. And I'm not blushing right now. I'm not. Folks that are watching, my face looks... It's because I took my kids to the zoo yesterday.
Oh, you got sun. It was
got
sunny
a little
yesterday.
Bit fried. Yeah, it wasn't supposed to be so sunny, but it was.
They have this new thing, SPF 30.
I never heard of that.
Never heard of SPF 30. So what'd you see? Anything good? Any good animals?
Oh, man. I love
the
shows.
Did you see the pandas? Like, sometimes you can see them, sometimes you can't.
Yeah. Actually, we didn't get over there, but we saw a really cool show. We like to go to the shows, you know, where they show the cheetah comes out and they have birds fly around your head and land on people's arms and stuff like that. You know, it's just the San Diego Zoo is the best in the world, both the safari park. So if you're in San Diego, folks, you got to go to the San Diego Zoo. It's phenomenal. It has the most species of any zoo in the world. And if you go to the safari park, you really get to see the animals out in wide open, spacious surroundings. And they bring some animals together so that they interact. The only thing, you know, they interact like they would in the wild, except the only thing they don't do that we would really like.
Oh, come on. I know what you're going to say.
Put a gazelle
in
there
with
the lions. Come on. Let's get real here.
That'd be awfully real for the gazelle. Do they still have that tram that goes around the outside?
Yes.
Because one time I'm on this tram, and on one side, you're looking down into this valley of African savanna animals. And on the other side, it's Southern California.
Yes.
And there's a bunch of mule deer up there. And I'm like, what are they thinking? They're like, what have I stumbled upon? It's nirvana here.
That's right.
Again, 888-318-7884 is the number, 888-31-TRUTH. Tim Staples is our guest, and any question you have on the Catholic faith is welcome. I really want to encourage folks who are not Catholic. I feel like sometimes I don't say that enough. If you're not Catholic, you're welcome to call and ask us
Amen.
Whatever you like. So Mary, Tim, is the mother of the church.
Amen.
Okay, now I say that. Do you know why I said it?
Because we have a new feast day.
Oh, okay. So you are up on these things. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. And what, you know, I, having written this book, I do have a bit of a devotion to our Blessed Mother. Yes, I do. And I
and you have to have a devotion in Irish.
Oh, yes.
I mean, in an Irish accent. Yeah.
Yes.
I hope that was an Irish accent. Yes, if you were doing like Jamaica or something, I totally misread that.
It was Irish.
Okay.
A bit muddled, but yes, Irish. No, you know, it's glorious. And as soon as Pope Francis declared this new feast day, I mean, I was elated. My heart leapt, and I immediately think of Pope Paul VI, who really introduced and got the ball rolling during the council. In fact, Mary, Mother of the Church, didn't make its way into the documents in a definitive sort of way, but he got the ball rolling. And now for it to be a feast day, and when it is, the week after Pentecost, which is so fitting because we're talking new life Pentecost, and that's the Blessed Mother. You know, we're in the month of May, folks. This is the month of Mary, and there's a reason for that. In fact, it really goes back as far as you want to go to pre-Christian days, the idea of May being springtime, new life, flowers.
Right. Yeah.
You know, the world is renewed, nature is renewed. We've come out of the darkness of winter, and now everything's blossoming and flowering. Hence, it's the perfect time for the Blessed Mother because that's what she represents. It was her yes that brought Jesus into the world. Without her yes, there is no Jesus. We're in the darkness of spiritual death and decay and such, the darkness of winter, and now she brings the flower, the fruit of Jesus Christ into our lives. And, you know, this devotion has been around from the beginning, but it really took off in the Baroque period, you know, 1600 to 1750. You know, the whole idea of bringing Mary into the month of May, and really all of this would lead to where we are today, the blossoming of devotion to Mary. In fact, the May crowning, which we just did on Sunday, on Monday, my wife and I took our kids to, we have this group we're involved with called the Blue Knights. It's kind of a Catholic Boy Scouts, and my boys are in it. It's fantastic. And they have the little flowers that our girls are in. And once a year, we get together, the little flowers and the Blue Knights together, and have a big shindig. We have a priest there, and we have the May crowning. It's just glorious.
Well, let me ask you a question, if I may, about Mary, because the connection of Mary to Pentecost.
Yes.
What does Pentecost mean to her if she's already espoused to the Holy Spirit from the time the Holy Spirit overshadowed her with the conception of Jesus?
Sure. Well, she is the archetype of the church as well as being the mother of the church. So she gives it, you know, she gives birth to the church. And, you know, as such, I always think of first, leave it to me. I always think of Bible verses, but, but, you know, mother of the church is so important because in 1 Timothy, follow me on this side, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10, the scripture says, Jesus Christ is the Savior of the entire world, especially those who believe, right? So because we know, you know, Jesus is the Savior of all, even those who don't accept him and allow him to actually bring the fruits of the redemption into their life, he's still their Savior. They just don't realize it.
Just don't grab the lifeline.
And you can end up in hell for all eternity if you never grab the lifeline. But he's the Savior of all, but especially those who believe. So obviously there's a special relationship with those who believe. And Mother of the Church is so profound because, of course, there's a sense in which Mary is the mother of all, whether you're a believer or not. Just as Christ is the Savior of all, guess what? She's the mother of all. He's the King of the universe. Guess what? She's the Queen of the universe by her relation with Jesus Christ. That it necessarily follows. But she has a special relationship, of course, through the sacraments. She becomes our mother in that intimate way through baptism because we're incorporated into Jesus Christ through the womb of Mary. We become not just brothers and sisters of Jesus, which we are, which makes Mary our mother, but we're members of his body. That's so glorious. We're members of his body. So we cannot even put into words how intimate our relationship becomes with Mary, because when she gave birth to Jesus, she also gave birth to all of us mystically. And that's what you see, by the way, in my book. I point this out quite a bit, and in different chapters, especially the section on co-redemptrix and mediatrix of all graces, that Revelation chapter 12, verses 4 and 5 have the woman, you know, with the crown of 12 stars on her head, the moon beneath her feet, this glorious woman who gives birth to Jesus in verses 4 and 5. But then verse 17, she gives birth to all those who have the testimony of Jesus Christ and keep the commandments. So she becomes the mother of us all. And so that's why it's so profound. And in my humble opinion, Mother of the Church was long overdue, but praise God it's here because that really accentuates that intimate relationship we have with Mary. She is the archetype of the church as well as the mother. Now, archetype meaning, you know, she has already had fulfilled in her being everything that the church now hopes for, right?
Oh, yes.
She is Mary, our hope. She is now in heaven gloriously, body as well as soul. And we see that so beautifully imaged there in Revelation chapter 12 because she has a head, she has a feet, she's bodily in heaven along with her son. So she is that, you know, the archetype of the church in that sense. And there's so many other things we could talk about, Si, you'll have to shut me up. But, you know, she is virginal, yet she gives birth to many sons and daughters, and yet remains a virgin. The church is the same way. She is the virginal bride of Christ, yet she gives birth,
right,
through baptism to all of us. There's so many things we could talk about there, how Mary is the archetype of the church, but at the same time, she is also the mother of the church because she gives birth to us all, as we see in the book of Revelation and elsewhere in sacred scriptures. So this is a glorious time in the church. You know, we should rejoice in Pope Francis's declaration and understand that makes this a grace-filled time for us to really grow in our devotion to Our Lady now that we have this feast day to understand God works with Holy Mother Church and God will pour out particular graces in a particular way on this glorious day.
We celebrate it for the first time. The feast day will be May 21st this year. I'm going to look that up to make sure that I am correct, but I'm pretty sure it's May 21st.
I think he's got it.
Tim Staples is our guest. Our topic, whatever is on your mind about the Catholic Church, Catholic people, Catholic beliefs, practices. You want to interrogate us? That's fine. You want to just find out a bit of information you might be missing? That's fine as well. 888-318-7884 is the number. We'll be right back with more Open Forum with Tim Staples on Catholic Answers Live right after this.
Your number one source for Catholic apologetics and evangelization, Catholic Answers Live.
Looking for an on-fire Catholic speaker for your event? Catholic Answers speakers will inform and inspire your audience to grow in their Catholic faith. For more information on booking a Catholic Answers speaker, visit CatholicAnswersSpeakers.com today.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Hey, Tim, while we're here, I'm going to do a little commercial, actually, because I see Rochelle sitting over there. You know,
yes.
Rochelle.
Yes.
And Rochelle has a brand new blog. What do you call it? Podcast. I get these words confused. A brand new podcast here at Catholic Answers. It's called Clumsy Theosis. And I know that you know what theosis means.
Yes.
And I guess for all of us, in a way, it's clumsy. I mean, except for Mary and Jesus. I mean, I shouldn't apply that word to Jesus. Right?
No, or that's correct, because he's theos.
He's already theos, yeah. But
we participate in the divine nature, as 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4 says, are made partakers of the divine nature. It's a glorious concept.
And you know what? I also honestly think many Christians don't know that's the whole point of Christianity. So I love that Rochelle took this title for her new podcast.
Yeah.
She takes the whole first podcast to kind of explain to us what theosis is and what that means and how we participate in that. And Rochelle, you're a little bit you use the word holy in there, but you seem very circumspect about using the word holy, I guess because people have a kind of impression of, oh, holy means like your hands are always folded and you're always looking heavenward and all that. But that's not what holiness is. Holiness is being like God, being able to love as God loves.
Amen.
That's a pretty great freedom and liberation to be holy.
You know, if you think hagios in Greek or sanctus in Latin, hagios means to be set apart, right? Consecrated or set apart unto God, which is what baptism does for us. We're incorporated into Christ. We're set apart. We become saints at that moment. Now, of course, we have to endeavor to remain saints. we sin and we fall, and that's why we don't give folks the title of saints until they actually get to heaven. And that's, by the way, in Colossians 1:12. That's why St. Paul talks about how, even though in Colossians 1:1-2, St. Paul refers to the saints at Colossae, right?
Yeah.
Especially there in verse 2. He calls them all saints, but then in verses 11 and 12, he says, God has made us partakers, the Greek word is merida, partakers in the lot of the saints in light. So that Greek word there, merida, means to partake in part. So yes, we're saints in part, they have it in full, and that's why we reserve the title of saint to those that have been canonized,
yeah.
But we're all saints in part, I like to say, and in process, and at times, even in the life of a Christian, we can be perfected. You know, I say immediately after baptism, guess what? You're a saint.
Yeah.
You've got no sins, no punishment due, no sins, I mean, and no punishment due for sins. everything's gone, baby, when you're baptized, as long as you didn't put up any obstacles to the grace. As a baby, of course, you can't, but as an adult, you can. You are made a saint. Of course, we don't remain that way, because 1 John 1:8 says, if any man says he has no sin, he is a liar. Yeah, we're good at it, so we end up, you know, picking up stains along the way. But, you know, it's interesting that 2 Corinthians 7, St. Paul talks about having these promises, dearly beloved. He says, let us move on in our life with Christ, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Perfecting holiness. So there are times in the life of Catholics where you make a good confession, let's say, or, you know, you come through a real time of tribulation in your life, cooperating with God's grace, where you may well be perfected. Like St. Stephen in Acts 7:55, where he's full of the Holy Spirit, God's preparing him for martyrdom. We can do that even in this life.
Yeah.
But then, of course, we sin and we need to get back and be cleansed again. And, of course, God's the judge. We don't know these times when we may well be perfected and ready for heaven. If we were to die right then, there would be no purgatory, bypass purgatory straight down. I mean, it's a glorious thought, though, isn't it? I mean,
Yes, it is.
This is ultimately what we're called to. We're called to be saints. We're not called to purgatory. We're called to be saints. God's called us to greatness because of what Jesus did for us.
You can find the Clumsy Theosis, which it's got a great little logo. It's a banana peel with a halo, so it combines that clumsy with the theosis. And you can find it at our podcast section. So you just go to catholic.com, you click on podcast, the first one is up and ready to go, and you can listen to it. And Rochelle, you did a beautiful job on it. You really did a beautiful. Don't come in the studio. I don't want you. No, I'm just teasing. We got to take calls now, though. But you did a beautiful job on it, Rochelle. Clumsy Theosis. I love that title. I love it in particular because we are all clumsy and we are all halting and all that. But we have to know that theosis is the gift that God has given us. That's Amen. What God gave us in Christ, that Amen. We will be sharers in the divine nature. We have an anonymous caller in Birmingham, Alabama. Are you willing to take that?
Let's do it.
All right. Anonymous in Birmingham, Alabama, you are on with Tim Staples. Your question, please.
Hi there. So I have a question. It's a personal question. So I'll just give you a personal backstory real quick. I'm 18, about to graduate, go to college. And I've been raised a practicing Catholic and everything. And I never really had a problem with anything until this month and this semester. But I've been struggling a lot with doubt.
Yes.
More intellectual doubt than the more, you know, and then the more, you know, I read as much as I can about how to overcome it, and I try to read apologetics, but still, it's not clicking.
Sure.
And I talked to actually someone I knew who was ordained, and it didn't help.
Right.
And I go to Mass twice a week and confession at least once a week.
Right.
And my confessors didn't really help either.
Right.
And even listening to your show, I listen to EWTN a lot.
Yes.
It still doesn't work, and it hasn't worked. So I just wonder, is it normal, especially when you're young? And if so, you know, how do you overcome it?
Right. Well,
quicker.
I would say that it's common. We deal with it all the time. Believe me, my brother, I get emails all the time. And when I go out and speak, I talk in particular with young people that are going through struggles. And so I would say it's quite common. But what we really want to zero in on is, what do you think is the source, and how could I be of help? Because one thing we want to help you to do is overcome doubts. And remember this too. A lot of times, and I'm not saying it's you, Anonymous, but a lot of times folks are really questioning. I like to make the distinction between questions and doubts, because I believe it was Cardinal Newman, wasn't it, who said 1,000 questions don't add up to one doubt. And that's profoundly true, because questions are good. That I would say is definitely normal, is to have questions. I have 7 kids, and every night when we do our nightly devotions, especially my son, Lukey, is going to be asking questions. But you know what, Anonymous? I mentioned, you know, yesterday we were at the May crowning, and an issue came up where the priest gave a talk and there was question time. And my son, Luke, just piped in and gave a beautiful response about the life of grace. And my jaw just hung open. I was like, what did you just say? Way to go, Lukey, you know. And so questions are good, but it's the willful doubt that is the only problem, Anonymous. And it sounds to me like there's no willful doubt here. It sounds to me like you have questions. And so how about it? Ask me a question and let's see if we can at least get you started on the right road. Does that make sense?
Yes. Okay. Can I? You don't mind?
Sure. Fire away.
Okay. Well, my particular struggle was I don't think I'll ever not believe in God or not. I've always kept that. But it's just really having trouble with being certain that Christ was the Son of God. But more, why did God have to do it that way?
Right.
And I know we probably can never understand that, but
right.
That's, you know, why is there a Trinity? Why couldn't it just be the Father alone and he created all things?
Right.
I just, that's really, killing, you know,
so it looks
me
like,
right now. It's consuming me 24/7.
All right. It looks like you got three questions there, right? Number one, can I ever be certain that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Number two, why did he have to do it that way, right, this bloody way? And number three, why does God have to be a Trinity? And so perhaps we'll just try to take them one at a time here. Why did he have to do it? Well, let's address the certainty first. I think one problem you may have here, Anonymous, is we have to make a distinction between the absolute certainty we can have, what we call metaphysical certainty, right? There are certain philosophical concepts and truths that we can know with what we call metaphysical certainty that don't involve faith. For example, that God exists. We don't need faith, although, of course, we believe in
right.
God because God has revealed himself as Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and that's beyond our ability to reason to. But we can know with certainty that God exists. And it sounds like you're already there. It sounds to me like, because as you said, Anonymous, you believe in God. Am I right?
Of course, yeah. I think that's pretty.
Yes. But see, my brother, I just want to emphasize to you, you're in a very normal place right now because you've gotten to that place where you know that God exists. You have no problem with that. That's something we can know just through the natural light of reason that God exists. Right. But you're too, where you're, what you're calling doubts come in, really, I think we have to make a distinction between our, what we can know with metaphysical certainty in the sense of a philosophical knowledge and then faith. Because look, you can't get to that level of certainty about God as Trinity, for example, because it's a totally different animal, right? It's, we're talking about faith. If we could know God exists as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, where would faith be, right? See, there are certain things that Jesus came and revealed to us that we can't know through the natural light of reason. And so if you're trying, and believe me, my brother, there's been a lot of folks that have gone before you that have tried to go down the same road. Like I'm thinking of Rene Descartes, who wanted to doubt everything mm-hmm. he could doubt and get to get to mathematical certainty about everything. Well, guess what? You can't. You can't get to 2 + 2 = 4 certainty about the things that are most important in life because we have to remember it's rooted in love. I mean, I can't know my wife loves me with 2 + 2 = 4 certainty, but that doesn't mean
you don't know it.
That's right.
Yeah.
Because love and faith bring about a different kind of certainty, but it is certain. In fact, we could say it's most certain. All right, but let's back up here for a second because I believe you're there. You know that God exists, but you're struggling with why then did he have to do it this way? Why did he have to die? Okay, well, number one, he didn't. God did not have to send his son and have Jesus Christ die on the cross. He didn't have to. God could just forgive us, just like I can say to Cy right now, Cy, you know what? For stealing my donut yesterday, I forgive you, pal. And yes, he did steal my donut, and
swear that was my donut. I don't know. No,
I'm joking because I don't eat donuts. But anyway, I mean, God could forgive us. He can do that. But God chose. See, I think the root of it, Anonymous, is found in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. God loves us so much that he wants to do more than just forgive us. He wants to transform us. And we were talking about earlier, communicate to us this great gift. We talked about theosis of being made partakers of the divine nature. And so he sends his son to do more than just forgive us, but to heal us and to raise us up into the very divine life. None of that he had to do. This is all a free gift that he gives to us because he loves us. So I think really the answer, and I'm going to have to pick this up on the other side of the break, the answer to the question, why did he do it this way, is because he so loves. But we'll come back in a moment.
Hang on, Anonymous. We're going to come back and finish that up. And lots of more questions, lots and lots more of your questions after this on Catholic Answers Live with Tim Staples.
We're here for you. Call now. Catholic Answers Live.
In Ireland right now, we are facing a serious crisis. The agents of the culture of death are attempting to have abortion legalized in our country. We cannot allow this to happen. In these moments, we are asking the EWTN family to join with us in prayer.
To join in prayer and to find out how you can help the pro-life movement in Ireland, go to EWTN in Ireland at ewtn.ie.
Tim Staples here. Since May is the month of Mary and Mother's Day, I'm offering a great opportunity for you to help yourself, your family, and your friends to get to know our Blessed Mother more deeply than ever before. And to help make that happen, we're offering my book, Behold Your Mother, a biblical and historical defense of the Marian doctrines for only $9.95. Folks, that's over 45% off the regular price. From her Immaculate Conception to the Annunciation, from her title as Mother of God to her perpetual virginity, from her assumption into heaven to her role as co-redemptrix, I'll give you all the facts and back them up with solid biblical evidence in a way that's easy to read, remember, and understand. Make this May the month you, your friends, and your family grow closer to the Mother of the Church, our Mother Mary. To get your copies of Behold Your Mother, call 1-888-291-8000 or log on to the shop at Catholic.com.
Would you like to become a Catholic Answers Live parish partner? We need you to help us spread the word at your local parish. We'll give you bumper stickers, window clings, flyers, everything you need to let your parish know about the best Catholic radio show on the air. We want you to partner with us. Email us at calpartners@catholic.com today and become a Catholic Answers parish partner. Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Open Forum. Tim Staples is our guest. Tim is Director of Apologetics and Evangelization here at Catholic Answers. And we're speaking with Anonymous in Birmingham, Alabama. And we're you wanted to
yes.
kind of...
Anonymous, are you still with us? Are you still with us, Anonymous? Please tell me you're still there.
He's not there.
Ah, well, Anonymous, I hope you're still listening. Because I wanted to put a bow on what we were talking about, because I do think, my brother, you need to really relax and understand you're in a very good place. You're not in a bad place. You're in a good place. You know that God exists. You believe in God. You are asking the question, why did he have to do it like this, right, to die on a cross? And basically, the answer is love. We could get into more details about that, but ultimately it's for God so loved.
Yeah.
Because he wants us not just to be forgiven, but to be healed, renewed, and ultimately divinized, to where we become partakers of the divine nature. And that is what the satisfaction that Jesus Christ made on the cross affords for us, because he is the only person in the universe who has the power to reconcile sinful man with God, because he is both God, Therefore, he can make an infinite sacrifice to make infinite satisfaction before God, and man to make fitting sacrifice for man. And so ultimately, that's the answer. It's love. But then thirdly, why Trinity? Why does God have to be a Trinity? Well, remember, Jesus Christ came 2,000 years ago and revealed to us that that is who God is from all eternity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And what we discover in sacred scripture, and as we develop it in our Catholic theology, it makes sense. Even though this is something that's beyond what, look, you can't reason to the Trinity, Anonymous. You just can't. Right? This is something, and really that makes sense, because if 1 Timothy 6:16 says God dwells in light that's inaccessible,
yeah, right?
If the light that he dwells in is inaccessible, how much more? He is, as the Fourth Lateran Council defined infallibly in its profession of faith, incomprehensible, right? He's ineffable. He's incomprehensible in his inner life, in his essence. We can never fully comprehend God. But yet, he revealed to us in and through Jesus Christ. And so that's really becomes the issue that I would ask you, Anonymous. What do you believe about Jesus? Because Jesus is the one who revealed him as Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And it really makes sense when you consider that God is love. And, you know, even though, again, yeah. Really everything gets back to love, even though, you know, the fact that God is love, we read it in 1 John, what is it, chapter 4, around verse 8, right? God is love. No other religion in the world has God being love.
Yes.
Not in the Old Testament, not in Islam. And why is that? It's because of the revelation of God as Trinity. He is eternal Father, and he is Father in relation to the Son, right? Loving from all eternity. The Son, and the Son loving the Father, and that love is so perfect it becomes a third person, the Holy Spirit. And so you have in the eternal relations of God, the four eternal relations of Father to Son, Son to Father, Father and Son to the Holy Spirit, and Holy Spirit back to the Father and Son, this endless and perfect circle of infinite love. That's what God is. That's who God is. That's who he's revealed to be. And really, you know, we have a hint of it, don't we, Cy, in, for example, the creation. I like to point out, you know, just in God creating, that's an infinite act of power, you know, God creating. I was just giving a talk to a men's conference about a week ago, and I shared with the men that if you think about it, when God creates, you know, you could ask the question, why in the world would he create? Because he knows the creation's not going to add anything to him. It can't.
Yes.
Yet he does it anyway. In fact, he even knows that that creation one day will kill him, yet he creates anyway. That's love.
Mm.
He pours himself out even in the act of creation. He gives us a hint.
Yes.
That he's love, but we don't see it fully until we see God as Trinity. So, Anonymous, that's something to think about, is that in the revelation that Jesus gives us, and that's why we believe it. We believe God is love because Jesus Christ really did live, really did die, performed miracles to prove who he was, raised himself from the dead, and that's why we believe it, because he says so. But when we see it, it becomes, oh my gosh, that makes so much sense.
Yes,
because
right.
It fits with what he did in the creation. Now we know, oh my goodness, he didn't just love, he is love. And now we see it in the three persons of the Blessed Trinity. So Anonymous, hang in there. Go to Catholic.com, my friend. Check out. We have tens of thousands of pages of free information for you there. If you would like to talk further to me, I'm going to give you, as long as you don't tell anybody else, I'm going to give you my email address. Now, everybody else listening and watching, just, you know, you
can just
hear
hum
this
for the other people.
That's right. It's tstaples@catholic.com. Email me. I would love to talk to you further.
Yeah, okay. So I didn't even hear your email address because I was humming. T. Staples. Let's go to, thank Anonymous. Thank you very much for that call. It is open forum. The number 888-318-7884. We go now to Robert in Houston, Texas, listening on Guadalupe Radio. Robert, your question for Tim.
Hello. I'm Robert.
Yes. Welcome.
Just before I start with my question, I want to, what was I going to say? I wanted to tell the other caller, Anonymous, that a lot of people will be praying for him because a lot of people are listening to the show.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Thank you, Robert.
And so, my question is about the book of Acts and certain and what Paul says about where God dwells.
Yes.
So the Catholic Church they say that they say that God is in the Eucharist and he's not in the Eucharist, he is the Eucharist, and we put him in a place called a sanctuary inside a box called the tabernacle.
Mm-hmm.
But in Acts chapter 17. Verses 24, it says, "The God who made the world and all that is in it, the Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in sanctuaries made by human hands."
Yes.
So I was wondering how we reconcile that with...
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes, with the Eucharist. Sounds on the surface problematic. Well, Robert, here's the deal. In Acts chapter 17, remember, St. Paul is on Mars Hill, and he's talking with a bunch of pagans, right? And he's looking around, and he sees all of these... shrines to all the different gods and such. And it's in that context that he says, God does not dwell in tabernacles made with human hands. And why is that? Because the pagans had this understanding that the gods or God were actually localized. That's a key word, localized to the statue, right? So God is actually contained in that statue. He's not over there. He's not over there. He's there. And that's a problem. See, in the Eucharist, we do not believe that God is localized in the sense that he's not over there, he's not over there, he's only here. Absolutely not. He is present, body, blood, soul, and divinity, in as much as the incarnate Lord is there, body, blood, soul, and divinity. But he's not localized in the sense that the pagans understood that he is there, localized, and he's not over there, okay? Does that make sense there?
Yes.
It's really the key is context. When you, after we get off the air here, you should take a look at the context of Acts chapter 17, verse 24, and you'll get the sense of what I'm saying. But now, I wanted to mention this too. For clarity's sake, we do say that Jesus is present in the Eucharist, right? That it's okay to use that language. I noticed you said that he is the Eucharist. He's not present in the Eucharist. Well, actually, both are true. And the reason why we say he's present in the Eucharist is because God has chosen in his infinite humility, the second person of the Blessed Trinity has chosen to humiliate himself out of his love for us, even in the act of the incarnation, as an infinite act of humiliation for God to become man. To get back to our anonymous caller before, I mean, that's just, it's radical love, right? God became man. That's how much he loves us. But that wasn't enough for him. He loves us even further unto death, death on the cross. But that wasn't enough for him. He loves us even further, and now he takes upon himself the form of bread and wine so that he can enter into us and transform us from the inside out. And so because of that fact, we believe that when the sacred hosts are consecrated, there is a sense in which we have that special presence, and it is to use the words of Pope Paul VI, in I think it was 1965, the great encyclical Mysterium Fidei, glorious encyclical of Pope Paul VI, he says, in his physical reality, so there is a sense in which Jesus' physical reality, body, blood, soul, and divinity, is localized within the parameters of that sacred host,
yes.
And his precious blood, and of course, at the same time, concomitant, right? He is entirely present, body, blood, soul, and divinity under both species. But we do say he's present in because of the fact that he is localized, not in that absolute sense like the pagans believed, but there is a sense in which, yes, he is present there in his physical reality, and that is a great gift to us. Does that help at all, my friend?
So it's kind of like how Jesus was present somewhere on the earth,
yes,
even though God is present anywhere. When he was he's still human, but when
Amen.
He was,
Amen. You just nailed it, my friend. See, I did it in all those words, and you just nailed it to the wall. You know, that's why, you know, John chapter 3, verse 13, read this when you also, after you get off the phone here. In John 3:13, no one has ascended into heaven at any time except the Son of Man who is in heaven. That is such a radical verse of scripture right there. Because think of, notice he said the Son of Man who is in heaven. Wait a second. How can the Son of Man be in heaven? Because he's one person. He's a divine person. No one has ascended into heaven except the Son of Man who is in heaven. So he's saying to these folks, even though you see me walking around, guess what? I'm in heaven right now. Right? Why? Because he ever beholds the face of the Father from the moment of his incarnation. He had the beatific vision. And on the cross, as Pope St. John Paul the Great said, you know, so well, even at that absolute unthinkable time of pain and agony, he never lost for a moment the vision of his Father.
Robert, thank you so much for that question. We do have to take a break. It is open forum here on Catholic Answers Live. 888-31-TRUTH is the number. Tim Staples is our guest, and we'll be right back with more after this on Catholic Answers Live.
Hi, this is Tim Staples. Did you know that you can arrange for me and a whole host of other Catholic Answers speakers to speak at your conference or parish event? Go to CatholicAnswersSpeakers.com to get all the information you need to book one of our on-fire speakers today. That's CatholicAnswersSpeakers.com. We look forward to seeing you.
This summer is the 50th anniversary of Pope Paul VI's landmark encyclical, Humanae Vitae. It dealt with contraception, and when the anniversary occurs, we can expect the media to go nuts. Volley after volley will be fired against the Church and its teaching. The attack will start all over again in October when Paul VI will be declared a saint. All of us can expect to get questions and challenges. We can foresee this attack. There's no doubt it's coming. That's why it's important that we prepare for it now. And that's why Catholic Answers is releasing the brand new book, Inseparable, Five Perspectives on Sex, Love, and Life in Defense of Humanae Vitae. It's written by five authors with a passion for defending the Church's teaching on human life and contraception. The book is so significant that Cardinal Raymond Burke has agreed to write a special foreword to help underscore its crucial message. Developing and distributing soul-saving resources like Inseparable is the kind of effort that your generosity makes possible. To make your donation and get a free copy of Inseparable, visit Catholic.com and click the Inseparable banner. Or call us toll-free at 888-291-8000. That's the Inseparable banner at Catholic.com or call toll-free 888-291-8000.
Do you love praying for people? Have you ever wanted to use your gift of prayer to share Jesus with others and build up the body of Christ? Start a public prayer station with St. Paul Street Evangelization. Listen to people's needs, pray with them, or invite them to meet you at church. St. Paul Street Evangelization can help you get started. Find out how at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
Catholic Answers Live is brought to you in part by CatholicSingles.com, the website for Catholics who want to meet others who share their Catholic values for faith, fellowship, and love. You can learn more at CatholicSingles.com. Catholic Answers Live thanks CatholicSingles.com for their generous support.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Tim Staples is our guest, and it is open forum. Any question you have on the life, the faith, the history of the Catholic Church is welcome. Just give us a call, 888-31-TRUTH. We go now to Emily in King of Prussia, Pennsylvania. And Emily is very smart because she has downloaded the Catholic Answers app onto her phone, and that's where she's listening. Emily, thanks for downloading the app. You're on with Tim.
Oh, thank you. It was my pleasure to download the app, actually. So my question for Tim is about his conversion story.
Yes.
So I was raised in a very small Baptist tradition that's very similar to Southern Baptist.
Yes.
My brother is actually studying to be a Southern Baptist minister in college, actually. I married a Catholic in December, and through a lot of prayer and study, you know, I've come to realize the fullness of the Catholic faith. And this weekend, I'm going home. I'm from Mississippi, actually, so I'm a long way from home. But my parents need to sign an affidavit of my baptism, because even though I was baptized at the age of reason, I was baptized as a child. So
okay.
It is going to be quite an ordeal to tell them about my conversion, because they really expected him to convert, you know?
Right.
So I was just wondering, Tim, if you had any, because I'm familiar with your conversion story, okay. And I know your family eventually did convert. And I was wondering if you had some maybe best practices as far as revealing this information,
yeah.
presenting it in a loving but very firm way.
Yeah.
You know, that you can't talk me out of it kind of way.
Yeah.
And if you have time to hit on it maybe a little bit,
right.
what my responsibility in that conversation will be as far as sharing my new faith.
Right.
Because my family's actual problem with Catholicism is not the main typical objections, actually. They right. have no idea that Catholics don't believe once saved, always saved, and that there is this transubstantiation, real presence idea. And their main problem with Catholicism is just the fact that we have to listen to a pope, you know, that's their problem.
Right.
And maybe a little bit of purgatory here and there. But
right.
if you could just maybe touch on that.
Sure. You know, I always say, I would recommend, by the way, that first of all, you just share, and you share from your heart. When I came home, and you know my story, when I came home from Bible college and announced that I was going to be Catholic, I had no idea what in the world am I going to say, especially to my mom. I knew it was going to hurt my mom. My brother Terry, you know, he and I had been banging heads for months about it, but nobody else. The rest of my family didn't even know what I was going through. But I decided, you know what, I'm just going to tell them. And I just loved them. You know, I think of the scripture where Jesus said he loved the rich young man, right? Before he told him the truth, he looked at him with love, and then he gave a pretty strong, give everything up and follow me, you know. But you know, you do it in love, but you share it, you share your testimony, and it has such power. For me, you know, by God's grace, my whole family—mother, father, three brothers, two sisters—all Catholic. It took 14 years for that to happen, of course, but I just shared from the heart. I tell you, I found, I guess I learned the hard way, though, that each one of them was such an individual. This is what I'd recommend to you. It's not so much, you know, for me anyway, it wasn't sitting down and making a proclamation to the whole family. I talked with my mom and my brother Terry together. I talked with my dad alone. I talked with my brother Mike on various different occasions. And Ted, I mean, it was very different for me with each one of my brothers. I mean, my brother Mike was basically an agnostic. He'd never even been baptized. He didn't believe in anything very much. Maybe there's a God sort of thing.
Yeah.
So he was very different. My dad was very anti-Catholic, you know, anger even toward the Catholic Church. So he was very different than the others. My brother Ted was analytical. With him, it was cerebral. I love that. Was great.
Let's that matched up a little better. With
yes, and, you know, but still took 5 years with Ted. And my brother Terry was very loving and humble. Only took 6 months with him. So I mean, what I found is that it's so different with each family member. My mother could care less. Well, I wouldn't say that. That's a bit hyperbolic, but she didn't want to hear theology. It was the miracles. Eucharistic miracles. It was the incorruptibles. It was Lourdes, Fatima that brought my mom to the fullness of the faith. And so what I always encourage folks to do is just love your family members for who they are and share with them when you can, and then be quiet. You know, try not to do too much. Yes, we have, to answer the second part of your question, yes, we have a responsibility to share the faith with our loved ones. Absolutely. And those responsibilities change depending upon the relationship, right? I have a grave responsibility to teach my children, for example, a grave responsibility that doesn't exist toward my brothers. And, you know, and if you have siblings, it's a different responsibility than it is toward children. But there is still a responsibility because we have been gifted. Jesus says, go and share. But depending upon how close the relationship, that changes the gravity of the situation. But I really, my sister, I veer away from, I mean, people ask the question, I answer, I veer away from the, you know, the necessity thing, and yeah, you got to do it. Because really, if you come across that way, like, oh man, I got to share the faith with them. Yeah. Okay. You know what? It
Here
is,
we go.
Here we go. I got to punch you in the mouth with Jesus. And, you know, it's going to come. It really will come across that way. But we got to pray that it's the love of God. And, yeah, I mean, there's, don't get me wrong, there's a place for necessity. Yes, St. Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians 9:16, woe be unto me if I preach not the gospel, for necessity is laid upon me. Absolutely, there is. But we've just got to fall in love with Jesus and tell God, you know what, Lord, I love my family so much. Please help me. And I will guarantee you, Jesus will help you. He will empower you. He will give you grace. He'll, you know, if we're reading books and we're trying to learn, you know what'll happen? He'll give you the words. He really will. You, as Jesus said, you think not what you are going to say. The Holy Spirit will speak at that time what you need. And it's true. That's not an excuse not to study. Of course not, because if you don't have it, the Holy Spirit isn't going to use it. He generally doesn't give infused knowledge on the spot, though that's possible.
Yeah.
He generally uses what you have, as Paul says in Romans 1:15, as much as it is in me, I'm prepared to preach the gospel to those who are at Rome, right? It's got to be there. And then God's going to pull it out, and he's going to give you grace and such. But I recommend one more thing. I think a really good way to prepare or even to help your family is first you read. You may have already read. Read like books like Surprised by Truth.
Oh, yeah.
I think the book. I really think the first one was the best. And not just
that because you're in there.
No, I'm joking.
How humble.
They're all good. I was joking. But, you know, that book has now, you know, the first one, Surprised by Truth, has sold now something like over 300,000 copies. It's in Catholic circles, that's a lot. But so many people have been moved by testimonies. And so I would encourage you to get a book like that to read yourself. It'll help you in your own presentation because you get 11 different converts and their different ways of presenting that can help you. But it's also a great gift to give. Because a lot of times it's testimonies like that that'll help your family, even when you can't. You be sneaky, right? Sneaky. Give them a third party, a fourth party, a fifth party, an 11th party, right, in one book. Because a lot of times, you know, a prophet is not welcomed, as Jesus said, in his own home. He's welcomed everywhere else except, you know, so you have that to deal with too. So get a good, you know, Surprised by Truth comes to mind. There's others out there. Those a lot of people find to be helpful in their own evangelization.
How does that all strike you, Emily?
That's great. I actually, Surprised by Truth was where I read your story, actually.
So, oh, my goodness.
Perfect. And I actually have it bookmarked here because I was planning on bringing it.
Fantastic.
But just because it is, I think it's the most relevant story to how my family thinks and how they grew
gotcha.
Up. And I'd also bought, I've heard a lot of advertisements on your radio for The Case for Catholicism by Trent Horn.
Yes.
Which does go into, you know, since my parents are so well-versed on their doctrines and what they believe, maybe this is a little, if they decide to, you know, maybe it's me going out on a limb, but I think they might be interested to at least take it. And in their minds, maybe they can refute it too.
Absolutely.
So, Yes. Hopefully this will open some doors. So thank you for
Well,
your
it sounds to me like you're already well on your way. So God bless you. Stay in touch because we'd love to hear what happens.
Okay, Emily?
Oh, I will. Thank you so much.
God bless.
Yeah, especially on Tuesdays and Thursdays. They're open for them every time. So we'd love to get you. But anytime you got a question, give us a call. The number 888-318-7884. I give that number out again because we have a full hour ahead of us of open forum with Tim Staples. Lots of folks already on the line, but lines open up sometimes all of a sudden. So if you've got a question, start dialing 888-318-7884. Tim, something I forgot to mention this hour. I want to mention
it now. Oh, my goodness, yes.
I mentioned Behold Your Mother several times. And did you know that they have it on sale for $9.95 right now?
I know.
Shop.catholic.com.
They're giving my book away. That's what they're doing.
They're giving it away for $9.95.
But, folks, that's like 45% off.
Yeah.
And that's fantastic. It really is. It's a great deal. And we've got lots of deals right now, don't we?
Yeah, there's a whole bunch of deals on there because it's the spring drive. You just put in spring18 as your code at shop.catholic.com. But right now, I'd suggest if you haven't gotten Tim's book, Behold Your Mother, A Biblical and Historical Defense of the Marian Doctrines, get your hands on that. It's just $9.95. Order copies for yourself, your friends, your family. Go to shop.catholic.com.
CatholicSingles.com. And we spoke a little bit before about Rochelle's podcast. It's called Clumsy Theosis. I hope you will give it a listen. You just go to Catholic.com, and along the side there, there's all the different pages you can select. Choose podcasts. You'll see Trent's podcast there, among others, and including Focus. And the brand new one, Clumsy Theosis, from our own Rochelle. Again, we'll be right back with more Open Forum on Catholic Answers Live. 888-318-7884 is the number. See you in a few minutes with your questions for Tim Staples.